Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
Oh, boy. You got something good you may want to share with other people. Something that may be uplifting or positive. 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. Both of those phone numbers go to the same place right here as we're live in St. Louis. It's 1:36, and about a half hour from now, we'll be live with AccuWeather, who's going to give us an update on the hurricane that's moving through the southern part of the United States up through Georgia now. And then what's that going to mean for us here in St. Louis? We've seen some crazy, wacky temperatures. So about a half hour from now, live from AccuWeather. If you have any questions you want me to ask AccuWeather, go ahead. You can text those in. Here's a good story I'll start with. This is from People Magazine. Army medic Luis Ocampo returned from the front lines of Hurricane Florence in September to find his house looted. They busted in the house. Some of his family's most cherished possessions gone. Some generous well-wishers donated some money because they wanted to help him. They thought, okay, he's out there. He's trying to help during Hurricane Florence. He's out there with the military, he's in the front lines. And then something happened, something he didn't really imagine. When a friend of theirs put the word out that here's a military family, he was serving his country and he was helping with the National Guard in North Carolina, and then his house gets ransacked when they're gone. People said, I want to help. And that's exactly what they did. They started raising money for this man and his girlfriend who lived together. So I went to his parents. Is what the girlfriend said. He felt safer there, and the girlfriend's gone, and he was able to go out and do his thing with the National Guard and come back. On September 21st, he returned home. He looks like someone went in through their son's bedroom's window, busted the locks with a shovel. They propped open a window, and then the house was trashed. Clothes, belongings all over the place. They were looted. They stole mostly electronics, like a laptop. They had some of his schoolwork on it, gaming systems, guns, jewelry, anything they can get on that they thought might be valuable. Grandmother's coin collection. The looters even took food from the refrigerator. So the young couple posted about the break-in on Facebook, and that's when people started raising some money. And over the course of 11 days, their goal was $5,000 to help get themselves back on track. Because, you know, when you're in a flooded area, in a hurricane area, and you're out there helping, you could probably have a lot you got to deal with. You know, if you got water damage or wind damage, tree limbs, just even if you got away with no damage to the house, you probably have a lot of things around the yard you got to try to start cleaning up, picking up, and maybe the neighbors need some help, whatever it is. So try to get themselves back on their feet. They were trying to get $5,000. In 11 days, the fundraiser reached $15,000. $15,000. That's not the tell me something good part of this story. What this military man did was give back. He said, I know it's really nice that people were donating money. They wanted to be nice to me, but I only needed $5,000. And he started donating anything over that. So every time someone would put some money in, or anytime someone tries to raise some money for him, he didn't keep it for himself. He paid it forward. He said, there's other people in need too. He started sending the money to the Soldiers and Airmen Assistance Fund. And every time more money would come in, send it straight out to them. He said, I wanted to pay back. He said, very happy that none of us was hurt. We're so grateful for not being hurt. And he wanted to help other soldiers in need. Good for him. That's a wonderful story. Do you ever tell me something good story? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. This one's out of the Philly area. There was a bunch of kids. So Tiffany, Lauren, and Sarah had a lemonade stand, and they were starting to raise some money. And the kids said, we're raising money for a charity. So if you have a charity you like, tell us about your charity, and we'll donate the money to a charity when we're done. They decided to give the money to their public library for a kids program that was going on there. They raised $125. Even people online started donating. One person donated $20 from the Cincinnati area that saw a picture of the lemonade stand. So they gave back. They didn't keep it for themselves. You know what those kids could have done? They're young. You know what? $125 to a kid, that you might as well say that you gave them $1 million for all they know. My kid the other day went into the dollar store and was able to pick up a toy with his own money. He had like $1.10 in change or something like that, or $1.25, whatever it was. And he was so proud of himself. He looked, he figured out what he wanted, this $1 item, took it over to the counter, put it up there. He was so proud handing the change that he kept in his little piggy bank. And, you know, he got the change back, whatever it was, 11 cents or something. And he was off and he was so proud. And he has these little toys now. And he just, you know, it's weird. It's not comparable. It doesn't match any of his other toys, but it doesn't matter. He loves this thing. So he spent it on himself. These kids did a lemonade stand. And they did it to benefit their public library. That is so cool to me. One last tell me something good story. And if you got a good one, 314-436-7900. This is in South Dakota. It was a pizza party like no other. McKinley Elementary School in Watertown. The students and staff got together and they were honoring this kid during this pizza party because the kid honored them. They made their way into the playground, the area that was formerly, you know, part of the school, like not formally, but just, it formed as part of the school. And all the members of the school, all the kids of the school, all the staff of the school, all the teachers of the school lined up for a block as a greeting tunnel for one particular student, a 9-year-old, Javier Amos. The student said, "I want to do something nice for my fellow classmates." Earlier in the year, he was diagnosed with leukemia. He was granted a wish for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he could have done anything. He could have went to Disney. I know Disney is so, so good at helping those kids in the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They roll out the red carpet for them, and God bless them for doing that. But that's not what this kid wanted. You know what he wanted? He said he wanted a pizza party for his school. And part of this pizza party, he wanted to make sure there was a bounce house there. They wanted him to play games. He wanted some animals to pet. He wanted laser tag. He wanted his friends in the entire school to have fun. He used his Make-A-Wish on other people. The one person that heads up the Make-A-Wish in South Dakota, Joe Everson, said he's never seen anything like it. For 2 hours, the Waterton Elementary School had fun before the buses came and it was time to go home, and Javier's wish was granted just the way he wanted it. That is something else. That brings a little tear to my eye. Do you have a positive story, something good you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America on KMOX. There's a new smartphone that you can build for yourself. I'm looking at it. It looks really neat. So you can go buy one now. It's $89. I don't know how to explain it to you, but I'll try. You remember the old Game Boys, what the old Game Boys look like? Now imagine if the Game Boy was clear, so if you could see through it, you kind of see like the circuit boards and things. It's got a little screen on it. It's called a Maker Phone, and it was developed by an 19-year-old kid. I guess he's not a kid, an adult now. The project that he originally set out to build was a gaming console, 8-bit gaming system, which was a success. People love this sort of thing. So he took his success from his first project and said, the next thing I want to do is a do-it-yourself mobile phone. The whole kit comes disassembled. They give you the instructions. It's supposed to help you learn a little bit about programming and being able to build an electronic piece of equipment by yourself. Once assembled, it's fully functional. The Maker Phone won't be like an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy phone or anything like that. It will be fully functional. You can play games on it. You can run apps on it. And it comes with a circuit board, a GSM module, processors, a Pixel LCD screen, antenna, sound module, things like that. It's a headphone jack too. Take that, iPhone. So weird. And I'm looking at it and it's just cool. $89, you can get one of these things. It's just about as easy to use as you can get. If you really wanted to, you can spend extra money and it becomes fully assembled if you're just one of those people that don't want to deal with it. You just like that idea of it being cool. Or bundle two or more for discounted prices. So maybe you and the significant other can get one of these too. This is a type of phone I would put my money behind. I would do this. I mean, I like my phone. I got the Samsung Galaxy and I use it for everything. So I don't know. Maybe when this thing dies, I'll look at the Maker phone, but I hope this thing lasts forever. I don't ever want this phone. I spent so much money on this phone. It was, I think at the time, $700 or something. And that was it wasn't that much. It was originally $700. I paid at least $450. Yeah, how much did the phone cost? The Samsung S8? $843. You bought yours a lot before mine. Like yours, you bought yours. I bought mine this past November too. I thought it was like $700 or something I paid for it. I got it. It was a Black Friday deal. I ordered it and it was, I forgot what place I bought it from. I don't think it was over $800 I paid for this thing. But it's expensive enough. I'm not going to ditch it for this cheap phone, but I like the idea of it. And it's kind of cool. It lets you build your own smartphone. I'd look like a hipster with this phone. I feel like I have some hipster tendencies with I'm gravitating towards this $89 phone. That's kind of like the anti-smartphone. You know, go ahead and spend your $800. Or what's the new iPhone that's out that goes all the way up to almost $1,400, $1,500? I want to pass out. You see a price tag like that. It's going to be funny when my kid comes up to me one day in the future and says, I want to spend this much money on this thing. And I'll look at him and I'll just laugh in his face and he'll get all mad. Come on, all the other kids have it. You're getting an $89 make-it-yourself phone. I don't care if I have to duct tape it myself. And you're going to like it. My kid. One day I might be able to convince him that it's actually going to be more cool to have the cheap phone than anything else. Now that we're on technology, there was this article I meant to get to a couple of days ago. I started on it, but it's so concerning the way this technology is going. Maybe if you build your own phone, you can make sure no one tracks you. Man, that might be the best security option. No one's going to bother you on these cheap phones. I mean, you're going to be able to do whatever you want with it. So Facebook's portal camera has a huge privacy concern, and people in the tech community have been watching this. I've seen a demonstration video of this. People are installing these cameras, and Amazon has one that's similar, too. They wanted to put cameras in your bedroom, and the idea is, oh, yeah, change. Yeah, get undressed in front of this camera. And it'll use this technology to help you pick what you can wear for that day. Oh, it'll help you with your outfits. You know, it'll be like your own little personal shopper. Oh, yeah, you got your own little personal assistant helping you out here. Don't be concerned that you are getting undressed in front of a camera. Oh, yeah, by the way, buy this for your teenaged girl. Put one of those in their bedrooms, too. You know, it's so creepy. It's so absurd. But people like this. People buy it for these features. I'm thinking, you are nuts. You are crazy. And the Facebook portal camera is like that. They want you to install this camera in places like your living room and your bedroom. And it'll use their technology to track you. Yeah, track you. Oh, facial recognition. You're in your bedroom for this many hours a day. And then you walk up here and, oh, yeah, here's all your statistics. You walk to the fridge 8 times a week. Or, oh, when you're in bed, you toss over 8 times. Or you have guests over most days of the week, but never on these days. Or when you're out to work, here's what your dog does. You might think, oh, that might be kind of good, cool to know. Yeah. Do you want Facebook to know it too? Do you like the idea of a tech company that could sell all of your private data to have everything about you logged and saved in their system? And who knows, maybe when it comes to hacking, or maybe they give the ability for police or law agencies to go into their system and watch you in your own home if you're suspected of a crime without a warrant, without you knowing about it. Do you like that idea? Why do they push this type of thing? I guess because people are okay with it. They think they can trust tech companies. They would never do anything like that. The real question, this one article from Forbes and their contributor brought up, Calav Latriou is his name, is not that criminals could compromise and hack in, even though they probably could. Facebook went through their own hacking issues. But the bigger problem is a way for law enforcement and nation states to utilize it for mass-scale remote surveillance. let's say Facebook being across the globe in every country. Let's say they're in China and there's people in China that want to use this and they cooperate with the Chinese government in order to have their services in China. And the Chinese government want to look into people's homes and they say, okay, fine, go ahead, use this. They say, even though the video footage isn't saved, which I'm skeptical that they were telling the truth here. Who's to say they're telling the truth? They will say whatever they think will get you to trust them. Don't trust them. If they say, let's put a camera in your living room, in your bedroom, and we want to be able to monitor you, but we'll just use the data. We won't actually. Don't trust them. Don't believe them. There's no way that this will be a benefit so much in your life that it'll offset any of the privacy you'll be giving up. There's no benefit worth it. Snowden's NSA documents and disclosures put out that the government is very good at surveilling, and they're very good at working with these tech companies. And even if Facebook does not have access, as in they say they don't have the ability to lively monitor these things, like there's a giant control room, who's to say there isn't someone in Facebook that violates their own policies and does this on their own? Who's to say that they aren't actually secretly saving this sort of thing? Who's to say that you're allowing them to do it by just simply installing it? No thanks. It says they want you to believe there's ways to disable the camera and the microphone. They said, here's a little thing you can slip over the camera so you know you're not being watched. And that means we're going to disable all our features. But who's to say a couple of things? Maybe firmware. Someone compromises the software, the firmware, and just hacks their way into it, bypasses it altogether, turns it back on. Similar to Amazon Key, Facebook's portal system raises serious concerns about how easy law enforcement and intelligence agencies may be able to do mass surveillance. It's funny, you just did it to yourself. They didn't even have to break into your house. You know, we look at those old spy movies where someone has to break into a headquarters and they put those listening devices. We got to go plant the bug. Oh, we got to find a way to plant the bug. Man, we're planting bugs on ourselves. Smart devices increasingly invade our homes, the Forbes article puts out. We must simply blindly trust that companies building these projects may not have made any security missteps and have built adequate safeguards to prevent them from being misused as surveillance devices. Our reliance on remote cloud systems, another thing that could very easily be hacked, happens all the time. Don't trust this stuff. One way of regarding this trust would be for companies to build the camera and microphone components of their smart devices into physically separate packaging that features real wires being unplugged, so you know that physically it's not being plugged in. But you can't tell if it's ever disconnected. Putting this all together, we are increasingly inviting surveillance devices in our home, filling the most intimate spaces with internet-connected cameras and microphones, and simply blindly trusting that those who built them didn't make any security mistakes and won't misuse the information they collect from them. Orwell's telescreens seem quite, I guess, not that far-fetched anymore. I'm so on board with that. I'm glad my wife doesn't fight me on this. I know that she thinks I'm a little paranoid. I put on the tinfoil hat at times and she thinks, oh no, that'll never happen. But at least she doesn't fight me that, hey, we're never doing this in our own home. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Man, it scares me. It just scares me how many people don't care. Oh, I got nothing to hide. I'll just do it anyway. just do it anyway. We're going to get an update from the hurricane that's rolling through the United States right now up in the Georgia area. Even though I think CBS just reported it's up to 2 deaths right now. The first one that was reported was a tree falling over. And where's the storm going? Where is it ending? When will it get out? What does that mean for us here in St. Louis? Because we see these pressures coming through. It is cold right now. We'll get your latest forecast coming up too on Overnight America, KMOX. Oh, you know, we already played Monster Mash today. You missed out on that. Welcome back to Overnight America. Producer Ben getting into it. So yesterday you were doing the Rock Me Like a Hurricane. You're being funny. Now we don't, now we're not laughing. We got some fatalities down because of this hurricane down there. Matt Rendy joining us from AccuWeather. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Hey, not much. How are you guys doing?
Good. So when this hurricane hit, Was it Category 4 when it hit land?
It was a Category 4, the strongest storm to hit Florida ever.
Wow. That's pretty devastating.
Yeah, indeed.
And now, is it Category 1, or what is it right now?
Now it dropped out into a tropical storm. We have winds at 60 miles per hour with gusts to 70.
Where is it currently sitting?
Right now, it's about 25 miles east of Macon, Georgia.
Okay, and it's moving. Last I checked, it was like 19 miles an hour or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's bumped up to 20, so yeah, it's really racing off now.
Yeah, racing off.
Yes. So
is 20 pretty fast for a hurricane?
It's not too bad. It's a good clip, but it'll pick up as soon as this front coming into the east will grabs it, and it'll start to really move at a good pace.
So now that it starts to pick up a little bit, what does that mean? When will it actually be out and gone?
It looks like Friday morning it's going to be getting offshore, and the rain associated with it will quickly follow. The back edge of the rainfall is usually pretty tight once the storm is on shore as it exits, so it will be moving along. Probably by 4 or 5 a.m. it should be getting offshore, and then maybe just clipping Cape Cod, perhaps.
With the Carolinas a month ago, we saw there was a ton of rain that was just recycling itself, sucking it up and cycling it into there. We're not really seeing the rain like we did then, right?
No, and that's in part thanks to the speed of the storm. That was the biggest problem with Florence, and the reason actually, even though it was a weaker storm coming in, because of the slow progression of it, the devastation it was going to be far greater. Even with the wind or the being at 150 miles per hour at landfall, the impacts because of the speed are minimized by the less rainfall, generally speaking. We're looking still at 4 to 8 inches heading into the Carolinas, and unfortunately, it is hitting the same areas that were hit by Florence. Some areas may have as much as 10 or 12 if we get a nice band set up over the area. But again, because of the speed, we're not looking at the 15, 20, even 30 inch reports that we had with Florence.
Yeah. I was reading an article from Bloomberg about this red tide, or the toxic red tide, where it's been sucking things and stirring things up in the water and then pushing it onto land. Do you know anything about that?
I know just a little bit, probably just about as much as you explained right there.
This algae that has been in there, and they're saying that's
poisoning
a concern.
The waters and killing fish, and it's becoming a serious problem.
Well, you see too, when you have a lot of flooding in areas that have seen flooding, when you have the water doing damage to a home, that's one thing. But if you got this algae stuff you had on top of it, one extra thing to worry about. Not good.
Yeah, it is something to be avoided.
All right, so Hurricane Michael, a Category 4 hitting, and it's still moving across. Have there been any surprises with this thing yet?
I think the biggest surprise was how quickly it intensified prior to landfall. Some indications were suggesting that they could have been maintained a 1 or a 2, but because of the warmth of the water and then the other mechanisms that would have diminished its possibilities moved away or cleared out for it, allowed it to really explode very much at the last minute.
Yeah. Joining us here from AccuWeather, Matt Rendy, and I'm looking at the weather here in St. Louis. Are we seeing cooler temperatures as a result of this hurricane, or is that maybe the front that's coming through St. Louis one of the reasons why it's pushing it so quick out of here?
That's the same front that is pushing it along,
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we are in fall.
How is that possible? We go from, just a couple of days ago, it was in the 80s, we dropped 30 degrees, and it's amazing how we can see drops that quickly.
Welcome to the fluctuations of the season. We have averages. We follow along certain lines. Of course, as you pointed out, we were in the 90s at some point earlier this month, down to 78 yesterday, and now we're going into the 50s for a time. Well, if you average the 90 and the 50, our average is 71. So we're pretty much that's what you kind of expect for this time of year.
Keep the averages if we go by that, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, this 43 stuff is crazy. I'm wondering, is there anything that Canada is doing to push the cold temperatures down? Are we seeing like a front coming in from somewhere like that?
I think they opened up the wall to let the cold air down.
The Canadian wall,
yes.
We see that every once in a while. All right, so what's the next threat for the hurricane that's going through with Hurricane Michael? What's the thing that everyone should be watching out for?
Well, again, because the storm or the wind is diminishing with it now, finally, the biggest threat is going to be the flooding rainfall. Up through the central part of the Carolinas, Charlotte, Raleigh, maybe even to southernmost West Virginia, Virginia into Norfolk. So,
Yeah. What are you, what's your experience with hurricanes? You ever been out in one?
I have no desire, and no, I have not been in one. I did have some classmates back in the day that went down to see Andrew, and they went to the Louisiana side of it. They barely got in there, and they said nope, and hightailed it back out of there.
Oh, so they were all confident. They said, we're going to earn our merit badge or whatever and get down there for the hurricane badge as a meteorologist. And as soon as they saw how dangerous it was, they said, maybe we don't need that.
Yeah, I'll pass. Yes.
I'll pass. All right. What's your favorite? If you had to go cover something, would it be tornadoes? If you're going to pass on the hurricane, what would be like your thing you would want to go chase?
I would prefer a snowstorm.
Oh. Big snowstorm.
Yeah.
We've seen some pretty big ones.
Indeed.
Come across. What's the most snow you've seen?
30 inches.
Wow. That's crazy.
You Minnesota, October 1992.
Oh, that's insane. That,
or 91.
Minnesota gets it. I lived in Wisconsin when there was a 2007 winter? It was terrible or something like that. And then I lived in Michigan, too, so I saw a lot of snow, but nothing like you see up in Canada. Is there still snow in Canada right now?
Oh, yeah.
I got friends up there. They post this photo. Last week, we had the pool open here in St. Louis. The wife wanted to go out one last time to swim, and my friends up in Canada are posting photos of snow on the ground up there. Just, it's amazing how you see these things.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so are we just going to expect the 50s for a long time here in St. Louis, or do you think there's going to be another warm-up period?
At least the next several days, it looks like we are stuck in the cooler weather. Now, it'll relieve a little bit as we start to head into the next week, of course.
Yeah, and then what can we expect for the rest of the year? Is it just like, are there going to be any other 80-degree days the rest of the year?
I'm pretty confident there will be, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, how does that happen?
I'm just going by averages.
I know. You're playing the averages.
Yeah.
You must be good in Vegas playing the averages, trying to beat the house that way.
That's how you avoid getting losses. You don't play.
You don't play.
Because the averages are against you.
Matt Rendy, AccuWeather, thank you so much for joining us here on Overnight America.
My pleasure.
Having some fun here with AccuWeather. That's pretty neat. Matt sounds like a good guy. Fun to bring him on. And it's cool that we get to do these things live here in St. Louis. It's 1:41. Not a lot of live radio programs still with you here. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Couple of tech stories. I already did the Facebook one. That was cool, right? Matt Rendy from AccuWeather joining us live. I like being live. It's just fun. You know, you can reach the show if you want to text in 314-436-7900. Or if you wanted to, you can do this too. Email me, ryan.recker@kmox.com. Got about another 10 minutes left this hour before we get to CBS News. AT&T is to launch a streaming service to counter Netflix. I talk a lot about net neutrality and how I think it's important to preserve the way we think of the internet. I don't like the idea that a internet service provider, the person that you pay for your internet, I don't like the idea that they could use that as their platform, meaning you hear these stories about Facebook and Twitter and Google and YouTube and all of these things where if they don't like what you're saying, they could just ban you. Or if they don't like what you're saying, they could demonetize you, meaning if you're used to making videos online for profit, they'll make it so you can't do that anymore. And sometimes they'll just hide you. They'll shadow ban you. You know, there's a lot of things they can do. I don't think that your internet service provider should be allowed to treat you that same way. I don't think they should be able to look at the internet as a platform that you're accessing through them. I think that the internet is something bigger than that. And now that net neutrality is gone, the internet service providers have the ability to do that to you. They have the ability to throttle websites. They have the ability to manipulate data. And there's no protections against it. And I think the biggest concern we have for that is when they try to funnel you into forcing you to buy one of their services versus someone else's services. It's very anti-competitive. So I think the biggest and the easiest thing for these internet service providers to do is to have you favor their own products first and then make it so it's difficult or there's some sort of incentive not to patronize their competitors. Most internet service providers, if not all of them, the largest ones, are always connected with a cable service. They want you to bundle everything. Bundle your cable. Bundle your home phone. Who does a home phone anymore anyway? Bundle your internet. Bundle it all together. And that's how you save on the money. But a lot of savvy people, including myself, realize that if you buy internet, you can get a lot of services that you could specialize in just the entertainment you want by hooking up a smart TV. And you buy your internet, you don't have to buy the, you know, $60 a month cable package, the $100 a month cable package and things like that. You can get around with just ordering the things you want, and it's going to end up being cheaper. Now, net neutrality gone, and there's a new story out. AT&T is ready to launch their own streaming service to counter Netflix. AT&T is a internet service provider. They're here in the St. Louis region too. They also offer cable because they merged with Time Warner. And now, you know, they have cell phone services. They get you to bundle. They get to do all these things. By the end of 2019, they want to do a direct-to-consumer streaming service to challenge things like Netflix or Amazon. So without the protection of a net neutrality, who's to say people that are customers of AT&T aren't going to experience slowdowns on some of the services they use to try to make it easier for you to use their service and disincentivize other you to use other people's services? So if you're a Netflix, for example, or you get HBO Go, well, I guess that's a bad example. Let's say you're a Netflix or an Amazon Prime member and you get the Amazon streaming service and you're perfectly happy with them and you don't want to switch over to AT&T's new service, but you get internet through them and they say, why don't you come switch over to us? And you say, no, we're fine with what we got. And then all of a sudden you notice every time you go to Netflix, it takes a long time to load or the quality's not as good because they're throttling that service. And then they start bugging you a little bit more. Our service would never do that. That must be a Netflix thing. You should go buy from us. We'll give you better entertainment. Get it from us. You know, you don't. And let's say you get any other service. YouTube, which is owned by Google, offers their own limited cable package. And you can even get regional sports. You can even get Fox Sports Midwest on a Google. Pay $40 a month. Get all this channels you watch already, including you can watch all the Cardinals games and everything, you know? And who's to say that the cable companies who are in huge competition with each other, without the protection of a net neutrality, go out and make it so you are, it's very difficult for you to go to their competitor, so in a way to try to force you to buy it from them. This is a huge concern I have when internet service providers have the power to throttle their competitors and people they don't like. It's almost like, what if they decide to throttle the next big social justice outcry? Oh, we don't like what Kanye West said about Donald Trump. Oh, man, Kanye West, how about that? We're really upset about it. Oh, people are upset with the things that he's saying. So, you know, if you want to go to his website or you want to go stream his latest album, we're just going to block it because, you know, we don't want to be associated with them. You know, it's kind of like how Alex Jones on InfoWars, and he's got his own network and website and all of these things. You know, he got kicked off of Facebook. He got kicked off of Twitter. He got kicked off of all of these platforms he was on. But at least he had his website. There was still a place you can go to. If you really were a fan of Alex Jones, you can still go to his website and read his news articles and watch his services and do all of that thing. Now, what if the cable providers say, well, we're going to be like a Facebook. We don't like what he's saying. We don't want to be associated with it. So we're not going to allow our customers to access that website. There's nothing that can stop them from doing that. You know what kind of countries do that? Countries like China. They don't have protections either. Who's to say the United States government might try to work with maybe an internet service provider and without these privacy protections that are built in, or maybe they just don't like, okay, we don't like, I don't know, let's say there's problems with Russia. We don't like RTV. We don't like anyone getting Russian propaganda here in the United States. So we're going to ask these service providers, it's your duty to censor anything that's coming in from a foreign country that we see as hostile. And then you're not allowed to access foreign news or whatever it is. The question is, should your internet service provider be allowed to censor information you're trying to access that's legally available? If you say the answer is no, then you should support net neutrality. Now, the big thing with that currently is the fight that some states are bringing up. There's a bunch of states, a couple dozen states, that wanted to enact their own laws on a state level. And they signed the legislation on a state level, California's being a big one, one of the big drivers of this, and the government's fighting them because they say they don't have the authority to do it. It's funny that we say states should have the rights to regulate these things. The state rights are important, yet we'll go and say, well, not on this topic, but, you know, every other state right issue is important, but not on this one. I just have a problem with it. I don't like it. I think that, you know, if states want to do it, they should be allowed to do it. I think that it's foolish that we got rid of net neutrality. And I don't know. Every time I see an article about this one where more and more of these big cable companies are going to be launching their own services to counter some of these streaming services, the first thing I think of is, well, either they're A, going to hold the other competitors ransom, as in they're going to try to get them to pay a ransom in order to be able to continue to offer their service to their customers, or B, they'll just throttle them. And, you know, if they don't pay the ransom and get out with it, because that's how they've operated in the past. There's one other story. Let me get to this one. The fight for the Senate here in Missouri is really heating up. This was the latest from the Post-Dispatch. Another independent poll is out that is ranking the Senate races across the country. And here in Missouri, everyone's watching it because we do have a pretty good chance of Josh Hawley flipping the seat from Claire McCaskill, making this a Republican, you know, double Republican senator state. You have Roy Blunt, and then you add Josh Hawley into the mix. That would be a big win for the Trump administration if they're able to grab an extra Senate seat. So the latest poll is out by Reuters, and also University of Virginia's Center for Politics shows Josh Hawley support by 45% of likely Missouri voters. Claire McCaskill's at 44%, so it's 45 to 44%. Still very, very close. Same polling firm showed that Bruce Rauner's down right now in Illinois by like 20 points, which is amazing to me. JB over there with the golden toilets. The poll was taking place between September 27th and October 7th. Missourians are split on the controversy over the which Senate candidate is helped or hurt the most based on the nominee of Brett Kavanaugh. And I know a lot of people have been driving their motivation to vote in this midterm election based on what happened with the Supreme Court. There was a really good point that was already made. The point was most Democrats were already motivated because of their hate that's driven by Kavanaugh and the Trump administration. So they were going to go voting anyway. The silliness that happened and everything that was else around it, that may have motivated more Republicans to go to the poll. So they might be catching up now. So this blue wave stuff may have really played its course based on what we saw because of the Supreme Court nomination. So it might actually work in the advantage of Republicans who may be picking up more steam. McCaskill voted against Kavanaugh. We know that. And that could be a motivator too. You know, when's the next Supreme Court justice? Let's say Donald Trump is reelected as president and he gets another 4 years after this next term. And there's another Supreme Court justice that comes up for retirement. Now, think of what just happened in this last fight. Imagine that again. So it's going to be better if we had more senators in. So that's why Josh Hawley would be important. And that's why this midterm election is important too. President Trump's approval rating among Missourians, even at 50% approval. Healthcare and the economy are the two biggest issues to the people that were surveyed there. Findings explain why McCaskill has focused much of her campaign rhetoric on advertising on health-related issues because they know healthcare, 19% said that was the number one issue that concerns them in this midterm election. So that was on KMOX.com. Or no, the Post-Dispatch had a really good write-up on that. You can go check it out for yourself. Next hour here on Overnight America. A little bit about the hurricane. You heard about that. Stephen Miller, something funny. Our article came out from his third grade teacher. This is just ridiculous. And we'll play a game of Would You Click It next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.